Well, here we go. The CFL season has arrived. Week one for the Canadian Football League. Jamie and I, Britt and Gray, and with you here on the Green Zone Blitz, the podcast. And here we go with our preview prediction episode. But there's a lot more other news that we have to tend to today when it comes to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. They had their cuts. They had their ring ceremony. You also have the top 50 list. Then we'll get into the predictions for the season. Talk a little CFL fantasy as well, if your drafts are working for you. But Britton, now we wait for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders because they have a bye week. Week one, after a bye week in the third week of the preseason, it'll be a minute between games for the Rough Riders.
Yeah, once again, it's interesting. Now, I know that the schedule is made before the Grey Cup's played. It's finalized. But still, terrible luck then that you have not only the defending Grey Cup champions off in week one, you have the reigning MOP off week one with the Lions on a bye week. It's weird that your number one market, I mean, Winnipeg fans can beg to differ, but the Riders' number one market across Canada, who everyone tunes in to watch, is off to start CFL football. And you've said it, I've said it. We hope eventually there will be a year where we can just have the marquee games kick off the season every time.
And there was a marquee announcement last week, which we're going to get into as well, which is the rights holders changing over for the Canadian Football League and the ramifications that could have on the CFL. But it was cut down day over the weekend for the Rough Riders. As we look at the transactions for the Riders, I won't go through all the releases here for Saskatchewan, but some of the guys we talked about, Britton, a lot during kind of training camp. Like, first off, running back Mario Anderson Jr., we talked a lot about his offseason, how hard he worked to get better, and it was looking that way. But when you have another guy walk into the building, Quali Conley, and he was impressive out of the gate. And I think this probably comes down to pass protection a little bit between the two players. And Conley picked up the offense real quick. I think that's why we saw Mario Anderson Jr. head out the door in Saskatchewan.
I'd have to agree with that, because when Mario Anderson had the football in preseason, he did look good. He showed off that burst, showed off that strength. He has great balance. And so the only reason you make that cut is for pass protection. And then it was weird, because I really liked Mario Anderson even last year. I was kind of surprised he got cut last year. I liked what he brought this year. But I also really liked what Conley was doing. I really liked how he ran the football with barely being there. Obviously, pass protection. He was graded when you're looking at their NFL drafts and the research, graded as a better pass blocker than a Mario Anderson. That feels like it was the reason. I mean, this team, it's AJ Ouellet, and then this team feels comfortable having Thomas Bertrand Houdon be the backup, even give him some more carries. They really like what he can do when he's been healthy. That allows you to give a guy like Conley a few extra few weeks here or there to continue to learn, because, as you mentioned, he came in a little bit late but made a big impact.
So also a guy who's been around, defensive lineman Chico Bennett Jr., he got surpassed on the depth chart. We'll look at the depth chart in just a little bit if you're watching along on YouTube. James Burgess Jr., the coaches said some good things about him, but that's a talented defensive backfield. Abdul Janae, the receiver, had a couple of big catches in the preseason games. Kicker Jonathan Kim did not win the job. It's Alex Hale, Britton, who takes the kicking duties into the 2026 season.
Yeah, I wonder, when I'm looking at this, is this the global designation? Because we'll talk about later, Jesse Mirko got released as well, and he was the global player. Habakkuk Baldonado's not there. And so it's a weird issue if that's what's the case, that guys are losing out jobs because you need to have a global guy there. I mean, but Alex Hale does have a little bit of pro experience. He was with the Green Bay Packers there. He's at least been to a camp. We've seen them try each other. Jonathan Kim, heck of a leg. We were all impressed by the leg he had, but they went with, I guess, the more veteran guy here, and Alex Hale, who's been around a pro camp.
Jesse Mirko, as you mentioned, a member of that Grey Cup championship team, as a punter released. They're going with Chapman instead. Benny Sapp III, who was around last season as well, he was released from the Riders. And those are kind of the notable names. But let's bring up the depth chart right now and take a look at who is actually on the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. You can check it out if you're not watching on YouTube and listening. I did tweet the image of the depth chart I put together. And I have everybody who's on the practice roster listed on the practice roster. Those in red are on the injured list, one game or six game injured list. But overall, let's start on the offensive side of the ball. No surprises along the offensive line at all. That's how I thought it was going to be, with Eric Anderson being the number six guy. They did keep a couple American offensive linemen for depth, but they'll be on the practice roster. Bell's on the six game, and Daniel Johnson is on the one game injured list. Britton, overall, yeah, this is outside of left guard. This is your Grey Cup championship offensive line.
Yeah, there wasn't too many spots, as you mentioned, for the returners from that offensive line from the Grey Cup. Zach Fry always kind of had the leg up here with just being a veteran, being a Canadian as well, there, as they kind of switched that ratio back there. Darius Bell going to the sixth game is interesting. I don't know what the injury is or kind of when it happened during preseason. You never really know. But I hate to see that for him to start off on the sixth game injured list. Hopefully he gets back, because they have high hopes for him eventually. Eric Anderson, it is going to be very interesting if Zach Fry can hold off Eric Anderson, who we know how talented he is. He was the U Sports Most Outstanding Offensive Lineman. Looks like he's going to be the guy they come in at, that will come in as the sixth offensive lineman. And you expect him to eventually be a starter in the CFL, so we'll see how long Fry can hold him off, and maybe How much can he play safety, or if something were to happen to Logan Ferland, does Zach Fry move over? I think Zach Fry was a bit of a backup last year, just being also a six guy as well. But yeah, no, I think this is going to be one of, if not the best offensive lines again this season in the CFL.
And their job is to protect the quarterback. The quarterback debate was one of the hottest ones in the preseason on who should be number two behind Trevor Harris. It appears that will be Jack Cohn, but all four quarterbacks will stay on the roster and are on the active roster right now, though we think Braden Shager is probably going to have the life of Jack Cohn last season and not dress and be a healthy scratch and get his full game check. So Harris, Cohn, Steven, Shager all remain as Rough Riders, and it's kind of what we predicted last week, Britton.
Yeah, exactly. It just all seemed to be, with the way Braden Shager was playing, you couldn't put him on the practice roster. This team's carried four quarterbacks in the past. They know exactly how this roster needs to shape up in order to do that. And it just feels like right now, and I know some people won't agree with it, but Jack Cohn is more able to go into a game midway through the second quarter. Have to go in there if something were to happen. Just take over the offense and you don't have to change it. You can kind of come in, just keep it going. He's a veteran. He's been around the system for a while. He can go in there. But boy, Braden Shager, if he ever is given an opportunity, and it might be next season, very intriguing prospect. Only 23 years old. There is no harm in letting him just learn from a guy like Trevor Harris, much like Jack Cohn learned from Harris, learn how to be a pro, learn how to approach meetings, processing speed, and boy, he seems like the highest ceiling, maybe, a prospect we've seen in a while come through Saskatchewan.
We've already talked about running back with the release of Mario Anderson Jr., AJ Ouellette, Thomas Bertrand Houdon, and Conley's on the practice roster. We talked about special teams. Chapman and Hale are there, but in the receiving core, get ready to look at Johnson sketching the football for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Keyshawn Johnson, of course, Kean Schaefer-Baker, Dell Duncan Busby, Sam Emelis, and then the other receivers to earn jobs. I always, for some reason, get Jalen Johnson's name wrong. I don't know why I want to call him Jawan, probably because of the tight end of the New England Patriots. But yes, Jalen Johnson is on the receiving core. He will start the season as the wideout for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. So he starts there. Letcher will return kicks. Then you got Johnny Johnson on the practice roster, Daniel Weeb on the practice roster. So Deshaun Mims keeps the roster spot for now, and Matthew Sexton, who showed out in preseason and really won a job as a receiver and probably the backup kick returner for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. That is a pretty talented receiving core that they put together. It must have been, like we said, Genet and some of the other receivers that were released wasn't easy, and that's what the coaches wanted to see.
Yeah, absolutely. There were some tough decisions. Jalen Johnson, I think a little surprising he might be the starting American wide receiver. Apparently, he blocks really well. And obviously, that's something this coaching staff really likes. They like what he can do on special teams as well. That's a good way to earn a job. It's just he's been hurt and at the end of camp there. I'm not sure if he played or just played for a little bit in the second preseason game. I'm trying to rack my brain. But these other guys, even Genet, I thought popped more. But they're going with this guy because, as I mentioned, apparent great blocker. They like what he does and some of that other stuff. I'm excited to see what – sorry, go on.
And special teams. I remember it was Corey Mace who shouted him out going, this is what you need to do. You need to do a lot of the intangibles well, not just catch the ball. Everybody here can catch the ball and run a route. But it seems like Jalen Johnson is a step above in a lot of the other intangibles they're looking for. Johnny Johnson was a late pick and, of course, a former teammate of Nick Weeb with the down south when they were at university together at Oregon. And now there you have it. They're teammates again for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. So that was interesting. Nick Weeb saying, wait a second. Johnny's here, because before Nick Weeb transferred up to the University of Saskatchewan, he was a teammate in U.S. college with Johnny Johnson, who showed well. And Matthew Sexton, Daniel Weeb, those are two young guys who they have a lot of potential. You let them kind of cook a little bit more and bake a little bit more on this practice roster. And I see good things ahead for both those players.
Yeah, Matthew Sexton especially, he's a returner as well. He did some good returning in preseason. I think that really helped to bump him above some other guys, because right now it's you feel confident with James Letcher Jr. there. Who's the next guy? Who do you really feel confident returning kicks? That appears to be Matthew Sexton, and a guy who's bounced around a lot. Like, this is a guy who has had to fight and claw his way to catching on with a team. Appears to have done it here in Saskatchewan just based on how, obviously, making the PR. But he had really good preseason. And another position, and we'll talk. We already talked about it. Defensive back was a deep group. Wide receiver was a deep group this year at training camp.
Absolutely. Now, there's the offense for the Rough Riders, flipping things over to the defense on the defensive line. We knew it was going to be Sanders. We knew it was going to be Rose, Sod, and Vodders. But where would the other spots go? Kendi Charles, Devin Adams, Pate, Evans, Weaver. Those are the players who start the season on the roster. All of these guys flashed in the preseason. All of them had plays that were notable, especially Pate Weaver and Evans in the second preseason game in Saskatoon. So, and Kendi Charles in that game. So again, this will be a probably 8-9 man rotation for Corey Mace for the defensive line. He likes to keep those guys fresh.
Absolutely. I think they ran 9 defensive linemen during games last season. They like to rotate. That's how you kind of felt Evans, Weaver, Pate, 2 out of 3 of those guys were going to be on the active game day roster. They all performed. But Desmond Evans is such an interesting prospect, not just because he has the intangibles of the size and stuff, but he was the number one defensive lineman recruit coming out of high school in the United States. This guy has viewed as just a lot of potential, and I'm very interested to see if Corey Mace and what he's done along the defensive line, the stars he's helped create and really tapped into the potential, what he can do with Evans. Because even those preseason games, he only had the 1 sack, sure, but he was in quarterbacks' faces a lot during the preseason.
You have Pate and you have Hoskins on the practice roster for the defensive line, and then Benoit Marion and Lake Corte Moore start on the 1-game injured list for some of the Canadian depth there for the Riders. And the linebacking core, no real surprises there either. We knew Josh Woods, Jameer Thurman, and Antoine Brooks were going to be the starters. But it's who is behind them. Miller Jr. is also not a surprise, either as Weeb or Stryker from their special teams duties and what they're able to do. But Gabinda and Oladipo are the two players that earn practice roster spots. Oladipo is someone, every practice it seems like he makes a play, playing Sam linebacker. So he's someone who, in case of injury, adds some depth there. He can also shuffle back as a defensive back as well. So there's some versatility there as well for Oladipo. But that linebacking core with Woods, the big replacement is A.J. Allen, his replacement, and Brooks replacing C.J. Revis. I think the Riders did okay.
Absolutely. And Aubrey Miller Jr. as well. He can go play the Will linebacker. He can play middle linebacker. He provides a lot of stuff out there. He's a guy who I'm very interested to see how he continues to develop in the CFL. I know you are very excited about what he can eventually add to a defense. But yeah, another deep group. This, all the credit to Jeremy O'Day and them for what they brought into camp this year.
And then the defensive secondary, it's the same old, same old. You got Sales, Milligan, Lacombo, Fields, Campbell with the Jackson Ford, who I actually was on the starting defense a little bit last week because Lacombo got nicked at near the end of training camp. But I think Jackson Ford still has a bright future. Juju Hughes is the defensive back on the practice roster, and the rookie Malcolm Bell earns a backup spot behind Tavon Campbell in this secondary. Again, a solid secondary. This is just a solid team right now. You see it on paper, and you definitely can see a team that's more than talented enough and deep enough, I think, Britton, to defend their Western crown and Grey Cup championship.
Yeah, absolutely. When I look at this roster, there's no glaring hole, right? There's some new guys who have to step up, absolutely, but we've seen a little bit throughout preseason. We've seen it in camp. I know what Belton Johnson has mentioned, he has some concerns here or there about maybe the defensive line. I liked what Evans has shown. I like what Weaver have shown. I think they will be able to perform. And also, all the credit to Malcolm Bell. Like, talk about a rookie coming in and making an impact. He might not get to start games this year, but he looks like he is going to be a ratio breaker in this league. Looks like he's going to be a very good defensive back given that opportunity. And that's important to have right now with this team, how they want to build out their roster. We don't know how much longer Tavon Campbell is going to play football for. So it's good to have a guy like that because, boy, he seems like a good prospect. When you watch him out there, he blankets receivers, and they do not get open.
Yeah, you can tell he went to a big school like Michigan State and was one of the best DBs there. So there's a look at the 2026 Saskatchewan Rough Riders after cutdown day. And so that was Saturday. And I'm curious, were Mario Anderson Jr., Benny Sapp III, and Jesse Mirko at the ring ceremony the next night on Sunday or not? I'm interested in that because they would be three guys who would have got a Grey Cup ring from their effort and contribution. And it was ring night on Sunday night. Staff, family all gathered in a banquet hall in Regina, and the confetti was flying again as they opened up their ring boxes and saw one of the biggest Grey Cup rings of all time. But the detail that went into it, like, you can go through it. Just the top of the ring, you have five stones on the Grey Cup, five white stones, those diamond stones on the Grey Cup. That signifies the five Grey Cup championships. You have 14 green gems. That's 14 wins last year that it took to win the Grey Cup championship. So that's the topper. Then you can actually pop the top, and on the back side of it, this is the coolest detail to me. This is the coolest detail out of all of them. Is underneath the top. So you pop it up and you can look underneath it. And they have a game ball, leather game ball. And then you have a replica of the branding. They were branding a piece of wood last season, just one mark for each win. And that, the exact spacing and how that looks on that piece of wood is branded onto that piece of leather underneath the ring. That's cool to me. And then, of course, when you pop the top off, you see Mosaic Stadium, and on the big screen, it says 1-0. We heard a lot of that, didn't we, last year, Britain, on 1-0 this week. They have It's Our Time inscribed on it. They have Rider Nation inscribed on it. Of course, the name and number, or name and position, like I saw Andrew Harris's ring. Instead of a number, it says RB for RB coach. Those types of things. So no detail was left unturned for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders Championship rings.
It's a good-looking ring, especially when you look at the different layers involved. I wonder how what it looks when Belton Johnson has his ring out. I wonder if he's like, man, I wonder how those
rings look. Well, I joked about then. With him on Monday. I was like, what's your ring compared to the 07 ring compared to the 2025 ring? And he's like, it does not even compare. What people are doing with rings now, it's not so much to wear it. It's more of an encapsulation of a season now. It tells a story, is what these rings are being designed to do. And congratulations to everybody in the Rough Riders organization. The ring night is always a special night, and probably the last time Corey Mace even wants to reference 2025. Again, he's moved on. He's trying to move on. He doesn't want to talk about it, but I'm sure he was happy to get his hands on that ring on Sunday. Yeah, so
this team wants 6 trophies on their next ring this upcoming season.
Yeah, they want 6, and then they want 7, and they want to run out of room that they have to reconfigure the north end zone where those banners hang to honor the Grey Cup champions. So we'll see if this is really a new golden age of Rough Rider football. So there's a look at the Canadian, or for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. What do you want to do first? Do you want to do the TV deal or the top 50, Britain?
Oh, let's do the TV deal. It's later news. We didn't get a chance to talk about it because it broke pretty much right after we recorded the Blitz. And interesting. At least we know what the reaction is to that. The TSN top 50 list just came out, so we give our reaction. But boy, especially in Saskatchewan, a lot of reaction to the broadcasting deal.
Yeah, so the broadcasting deal is pretty simple. They opened it up. It's no longer TSN exclusive. DAZN raised their hand and said, we'd be interested in having a piece of the pie. And they will get Saturday Night Football starting in 2027, Saturday Night Football. Oh, and hello, YouTube. They're also a partner now, and we do this podcast on YouTube. So now that they're a CFL partner, maybe in your YouTube algorithms, you'll see a little bit more of the Blitz popping up, as you should, really. So YouTube, DAZN, join TSN as partners with the Canadian Football League. Actually, YouTube will be airing preseason games. And so it sounds like they're getting rid of the CFL Plus stuff and just going with YouTube, which, you know, on the back end, it's easier to just go live to YouTube than having your own platform, I guess. So the combine material, some of that stuff will be on YouTube. But DAZN is the big one, because TSN, it is the cable provider. You just turn on the TV if you have cable, and you watch the CFL football, and you watch every game, not in 2027. You want to watch every game, including those Saturday night marquee games, you're going to need another streaming service subscription. That is DAZN. Now, Britton, I don't know if you're on DAZN or not, but I'm an NFL guy. I've been on it since inception. That was glitchy that first year, but everything's been a lot better. And Deidre Dion, the VP of DAZN Canada, was on the show on Tuesday this week. And if you want to check out the interview, and she said there's something like 2,000 technicians they have working on DAZN, like just to make sure it runs smoothly. So those people, they're working around the clock. They're always on. They have somebody working to make sure that back end. And it's more money. And that's why I'm not going to jump up and be enraged. It's 2026. It's going to be 2027. This is where media has moved, is streaming. TSN Plus app, Sportsnet Plus. Like, they all have their streaming services within their own cable provider package. So, and it's going to be new voices. They're going to hire their own people to bring, hopefully, some different perspectives to a CFL broadcast. So I understand the frustration. I understand it's more money. I understand, man, life these days with gas prices, this is just another knock and it can tick you off. I understand that completely. And I sympathize with you 100%. But no league is going to say no to that type of money that's coming in. It's now up to about $1 million a game to broadcast a Canadian Football League game. Player salaries are going up. Coaches' salaries should be going up. Maybe this brings in a 10th franchise because an owner can sit and go, wow, a lot of my expenses are being paid by TV contracts. Okay, I can make money at this. Okay. That's where what I see as all the positives. I see a lot more positives with this deal than I do negatives.
Yeah, there are a lot of positives. I do get the price tag. When you look at it, it's expensive. It is an expensive streaming service, but we don't know what they're going to do. As I said, they've given the CFL money. It's now up to DAZN to convince you to subscribe to them, to put your money into them, show what they can do, and whether that's offering a deal, maybe the first month, first few games are free. Like, they have to do something. It's up to them to get you to buy in. It's their money now. They've given it to the CFL. I'm excited to see what the new broadcast looks like. I was really excited to hear that they're bringing their own people. Just something fresh. Like, that's the thing with the NFL, and it's on different networks. Every game can feel different. It feels fresh, like you're watching a different product than just the same thing. Excited about that. And ultimately, this is the CFL, and it's going to irritate people trying to get a younger fan base. They like streaming services. They like being able to not just only get CFL football, but soccer fans with DAZN. The boxing, they have combat sports on there. I went on there recently. I see they have wrestling pay-per-views now. They're getting involved in a little bit of everything to try and just get more people subscribing to them. They're sports-oriented. Their hope is that brings in a younger crowd to the CFL. And DAZN's hoping it brings some more people to them to see what else they can bring, right? That's how it has to work. And so I'm interested, but it feels like they are moving away from kind of that older demographic. And that's going to really irritate some people because they've been the lifeblood of the CFL. Mm-hmm. But when I look at this deal, the amount of money they're getting for it, it allows the league to not just be a gate revenue league. It doesn't have to rely on selling out every stadium, having Winnipeg have all their sellouts, having Saskatchewan kind of sell out so that other markets can get brought up because the other teams have made a lot of money from that. And so I think that's better for a league. In this day and age, with the TV and everything, even the NHL deals with it too. More people are choosing to stay home than go out to games because game days are expensive now. And this will help them. My hope is that the league gets money and season tickets no longer need to go up. Or they can bring down, they can do some stuff with tickets to bring more people to games. Concessions, because they have extra money. But, I mean, we know that rarely does happen. It's all about making the most profit, right?
This is Dreamer Britton Gray on the Blitz podcast.
But
of teams bringing prices down.
We can only dream. But it's where they're shifting. A younger demographic. And trying to be less reliant on gate revenue, which I think is the right moves.
Dreamer, Britton Gray, here on the Blitz. And we'll see. Like, I was trying to run some numbers, and if you get, was it 50,000 or something like that, subscribers, if they can pull 50,000 subscribers over from a CFL audience, and how much money that means for DAZN, it's almost like they make their money back. From what they're giving the Canadian Football League. And when you have a league that has 700,000 people watching your product consistently, it's going to be interesting. Or maybe they have a CFL package. They're not quite sure on, or, you know, every so often, once a month, one of those Saturday games is a freebie just to show people what they have and go, oh, well, this is actually pretty good. This is going to be worth my while. And maybe there's going to be other content that comes along with the zone to make it worth your while to actually go in. So I've always said they need to get away from the TSN exclusivity. And this is how they've done it. And if they get a 10th team, that means there's going to be an extra game a week. And I'm wondering how much of this is TSN going, if you get to 10 and we can't do five games a week. We just can't. We can't dedicate that much airtime on TSN to five games a week unless you start overlapping games and have, well, there's two games both kicking off at 2 o'clock like the NFL does. So that's, I'm looking further going, okay, I think maybe the CFL might just get too big for one broadcast partner. And that clearly maybe at that point, and with extended playoffs, well, that's where we're at. Two of those playoff games will also be on DAZN. One in the first round or one in the second round for the new playoff format. So there's the TV deal. It's more money. It's record revenue for the Canadian Football League, and it's a six-year deal. So 2027, 8, 9, 30, 31, and 32, those will be the years under this new deal. So if you don't like DAZN, set your calendars for 2032, and you can mail the league to not do a streaming service. Though with this money, I'll be very interested on where the future is going. The league looks healthier than ever. And when I say that, I go, why did we have to change all the rules?
Yeah.
I'll keep saying that. We need more revenue. We need to change things up. The same isn't working. Okay. Or did you just take a smack across the face in COVID? And now here is the rebuild of it all that is coming to fruition. I'm in favor of some of the rule changes, but I think it was too much, too quick, all across the board for the Canadian Football League. And I hope with new streaming services and new rules, it doesn't turn too many people off in 2027. That's my fear, anyways.
My biggest gripe is the 8 out of 9 teams in the playoffs. But we'll see. We'll see how that works in theory.
Well, it'll end Ottawa's playoff drought and Edmonton's.
Ottawa would have
one of those teams. One of those two teams will make the playoffs. It's guaranteed. Yeah, I don't like that one either. The top 50 list. We got to get going here. We haven't even started our prediction.
A lot of stuff.
Busy week.
Week one, if football's back.
Yeah, top 50 list. It came out. Nathan Rourke, number 1. Bo Levi Mitchell, number 2. Kenny Lawler, 3. Matthew Betts, 4. I'll just do the top 10. I'm not going to go through the whole top 50. Keon Hatcher, number 5. Therese Beverett, number 6. Brady Oliveira, 7. Trevor Harris is the first rider on the list at 8. Davis Alexander, Montreal, is 9th. And Rough Rider offensive lineman Jermarcus Hardrick is number 10. In total, there are 12 members of the 2025 Saskatchewan Rough Riders team on the top 50 list. 3 of them no longer play for the Rough Riders, and CJ Rivas, AJ Allen, and Malik Carney. 9 of them are on this list, are back in green and white. So the Riders, Britain, well represented on the top 50 list.
Yeah, they were. I mean, Trevor Harris being up there makes a lot of sense. Obviously gets the quarterback bump, but he was just so efficient all throughout the season. And then in the Grey Cup, obviously record-breaking. So that makes a lot of sense for him to be there. I saw Sam Emilis at 19, and I still felt like that was low, but I know that I think highly of Sam Emilis compared to the national media just because he's been hurt. And I get that. He's dealt with injuries, but when he was out there, he was one of, if not the best receiver. I would have had him over Justin McInnes, but obviously McInnes played more. And Keyshawn Johnson continuing to make waves. He really blew up last year, had a great year, and I think people realized that he might be one of, if not the best route runners in the CFL. We've talked about it before with him and how good he is, but makes a lot of sense. Glad to see, like, even the guys who aren't even here anymore, CJ Revis, AJ Allen, the recognition. I know it means a lot to those guys. We have these lists, we debate them, but those guys like getting the recognition. I know CJ Revis, AJ Allen have thanked people for voting for him, and excited to see what they can do in the future here with those guys, even though they're no longer in Saskatchewan.
There's one omission that...
Just one?
There are plenty, but there's one that I have to call people out. How is Greg Bell not in the top 50? Like, pardon me? Greg Bell with the Hamilton Tiger Cats last year was outstanding. One of those do-it-all guys, catching the ball, running the ball. Ottawa paid up big for him. I looked at Greg Bell going, wow, this guy's a top 50 player. For sure he is. And he's the one guy on the list where I was sure he was going to be on the top 50 in the Canadian Football League for the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Now, Ottawa Red Blacks, 1,000 yards rushing last year, 400 yards receiving. So he has over 1,400 total yards. That is an amazing season. And to leave him off of the top 50, I could not believe it. Couldn't believe Greg Bell was not on the top 50 list.
Yeah, well, can you people wait until after I'm done all my drafts to figure that out? Because I'm getting Greg Bell at an insane value in CFL fantasy drafts right now. So, can we?
Oh, sorry, you want me to shut up? Is yeah, that what you're saying?
Great running back. I'm glad I'm getting him where I am right now in CFL fantasy. I mean, it's one of these lists every year we debate it. At least we can agree this year, Nathan Rourke is number one.
Yeah, Nathan Rourke, number one. The debate was number two on the green zone. Some people had Kenny Lawler. I had Kenny Lawler number two. He was number three. Brady Oliveira. I'm surprised Brady fell to seven. Some people thought Davis Alexander. I know Alexander actually got first place votes, and that's another thing. Like, come on. Like, Nathan Rourke was number one. You're just trying too hard. Apparently somebody voted for Trevor Harris number one. I know, Grey Cup champion, Grey Cup MVP. Yes, but Nathan Rourke he put it out there all season last year on how special of a talent he is. Do you think Chad Kelly was in the right spot at 24? Didn't play at all last season.
Well, it's interesting because when I look back, last year the argument was, well, Nathan Rourke shouldn't be so high because he really didn't play and was bad. Chad Kelly didn't play, but he seemed to have gotten hurt by it, while Nathan Rourke, no one really cared about it. Chad Kelly, yes, because it's also with Chad Kelly this year, it was a serious injury he's coming off of. And I'm not sure the supporting cast is as good in Toronto as it has been his previous years. That's a team I'm kind of very up in the air about, but he can throw a good football. We've seen it. We know how good he is. But I do get having him there at 24.
I thought it was a little high for Chad Kelly coming off that injury, but I know people will be like, well, aren't you a hypocrite because you didn't have Nathan Rourke? But Nathan Rourke was out of league for 2 years, came back, and was mediocre. Like, 2024 was a mediocre year for Nathan Rourke. And I looked at the other quarterbacks in the league. They had better years than he did. And they've been in the league. So I was on the, okay, he's off the NFL. And I know it was an emotional, wacky year for him. And he had talent. And yeah, okay, he's now number one. He showed me. But Chad Kelly, when he's been on the field the last 3 years, he has been good. He was the most outstanding player. Something Nathan Rourke never was until last year. Chad Kelly was. Then he had a good nine games, got that team to the Grey Cup, but got hurt. And, of course, that carried over to last season. So Chad Kelly was on my top 40. We submit top 40 for this ballot. But he was not 24. He was actually 30 on mine for the top 50 ballot. So there you have it. I don't think too much debate needs to be had on the top 50 list. All right. The season begins on Thursday. Let's run around the league on what we expect with some predictions for you heading into the CFL season. Let's begin in the East. Britton Gray, how do you see the East Division shuffling out this season?
It's going to be interesting. I think the East is really weird. Can Montreal continue with Davis Alexander not losing in the regular season? I think them losing Darnell Sankey, I know they still have Beverett there, but I think losing Darnell Sankey.
Picked up Micah Awe as well this offseason to fill that void. But Darnell Sankey's, I think, a better linebacker.
Yeah, like I said, I really like the Montreal defense. Can they do it again? I think Hamilton realizes that the clock's ticking with this Bo Levi Mitchell thing, especially maybe DAZN offers him a ton of money to be their color guy next year, right? But I think they realize that. They have Kenny Lawler. It feels like they're in a good spot. I think they're going to win the East, Montreal finishing second, and then I have Ottawa above Toronto. If there's going to be a guy who gets a lot out of Jake Maier.
And of course, your love of Jake Maier.
And the potential that Jake Maier has always shown, and that's why they moved off from Bo Levi Mitchell in Calgary. If there's someone who's going to get it done with him, it's going to be Ryan Dinwiddie, because what he was able to do with Nick Arbuckle last year, and we all know about Nick Arbuckle, I think Ottawa could finish third and get into the playoffs there.
Okay. The Hamilton Tiger Cats lose Tim White. They also lose Greg Bell. They bring in Wynton McManus, who's already hurt. Bo Levi Mitchell ain't any younger. Can he repeat an MOP caliber season yet again and stay healthy? I have my doubts on the Hamilton Tiger Cats. I really do. And I've been thinking about this, and I don't like what I'm about to say. I think Hamilton finishes third in that division. Toronto, I will be fourth. Ottawa second, Montreal first. That's how I see this playing out. I do appreciate Davis Alexander. I know I said he shouldn't be number one, but I think Davis Alexander, who I believe I picked as MOP last year on this exact same show, and would have, if he would have stayed healthy, might have won the MLB because he was undefeated in the regular season, I might add. But that's my, and I think Phil Pott and the rest of them out there in Montreal can get it done. So Montreal 1, Ottawa 2, because I believe in Ryan Dinwiddie and I believe in CJ Revis and AJ Allen and a lot of work they did on that defense to get it up to snuff. So that's my prediction. Ottawa does a quick flip with Ryan Dinwiddie leading the way. Montreal, Ottawa, Hamilton, Toronto is how I see the East Division shuffling out. Now, who will be the East Division MOP? I think I have to keep with my guy Davis Alexander. I did pick him last year. I think he's the kid who can do some special things if he can stay healthy.
That makes a lot of sense. I have Hamilton, as I said, kind of making the push here. I hate going quarterback. Why not give Kenny Lawler some love? Kenny Lawler kind of builds on what he did last year, where he was on that historic pace. Not saying he breaks records, but I think he gets close. And I think that he might get the nod here. Just something different up there. I like putting out something a little bit different. And I think Kenny Lawler is talented enough to be an MOP candidate.
All righty. So we'll see how things go out East. We'll get into how we think everything's going to shuffle up going into the playoffs. But let's go to the West in a strong quarterbacks around the West Division, as there are in the East Division as well, with Davis Alexander, Chad Kelly's healthy, Bo Levi Mitchell, and Jake Maier taking Drew Brown's job in Ottawa. So I think there's so much parity in the West. I think Edmonton should be better, BC, they added with Darnell Sankey. Calgary did lose some players, but Vernon Adams Jr. made that team a lot better last year. The Riders are going to be solid. Went Winnipeg with Tim White. Who knows what's going to happen? A little bit of spark in that receiving core. They lose Kenny Lawler to Hamilton, and then a year later they bring in Tim White from the Hamilton Tiger Cats. So, West Division prediction. How do you see this shuffling out?
The West is tough too this year because, as you mentioned, there's a lot of parity. I kind of do have it in two tiers, in my opinion, and when I look at the West. This first tier, you can kind of put these three teams, third, fourth, fifth. You can make the arguments that I think that's where they're going to be. I think Winnipeg finishes fifth, a strong fifth. I like what they've done. They went out and got veterans, but it's a team that got veterans that was already kind of already looking slower out there, already looking a little bit older. And so I just have them fifth. Calgary, I want to put fourth. I just don't know Vernon Adams Jr.
Wow.
Once again, he comes in with the caveat. Do we get the VA that's the MOP candidate, or do we get the VA that throws a lot of interceptions? They did a great job of having him be the MOP type VA last year. Can he do it year two? I like Edmonton. Edmonton's a team that has a lot of positive momentum going. I think they finally found the guy in Cody Fajardo, got off the Trey Ford thing. Justin Rankin, you speak about, talk about MOP candidates, Dark Horse MOP candidates. He could be that guy out in Edmonton. So that's kind of that one tier. You can kind of place them wherever. I think BC and Saskatchewan are just above those guys. I think there is a little bit of a gap between them and the other three teams. And I have the BC Lions with 12 wins going to Saskatchewan for the West Final. So Saskatchewan, so the Riders finishing won. First with 13 wins.
No. Can't have that. We made a bet with Darren and Rosh Percy again on 13.
I thought it was a great line. I thought the line was great.
Here's the thing. I don't think the Rough Rider, I don't think anybody can get to 13 wins. If there's one team who's going to get to 13 wins this season, it's going to be the BC Lions. BC Lions are my number one team in the West. They're my number one team in the CFL. They're the team I'm picking for the Grey Cup. It's going to be a repeat Nathan Rourke year, and they're better. I think the BC Lions are better in year two with Buck Pierce. It was Corey Mace year two in Saskatchewan where they won a Grey Cup. So I got BC one. I'm going to go with the Rough Riders two. I actually have the Winnipeg Blue Bombers finishing third this year in the CFL's West Division. I like the addition of Tim White. I know the veteran savvy. Are they old? But in behind some of the – it's like we're blinded by Willie Jefferson and Nick Dembski and Zach Collaros. Like, Brady Oliveira ain't old, right? They brought in Broxton on their offensive line. Even if Stanley Bryant does go on, oh, no, we have Broxton. He can play left tackle and fill in. Tony Jones in the linebacking core. I look at Winnipeg as a team with that culture who can regain some the luster. Calgary, fourth. And, yes, I am picking the Edmonton Elks to finish fifth, because here is my prediction. Taylor Powell will end the season as the starting quarterback for the Edmonton Elks. That is my prediction this year in the West Division. So, what? Britton's giving me a look like I'm nuts.
It's interesting. Hey, as I said, the West Division, those you can put teams wherever. That is by far the toughest division to predict.
Ed Hervey was the general manager in Hamilton when Taylor Powell came into the league. Ed Hervey likes himself some Taylor Powell. Yeah, Cody Fajardo did some good things, took Trey Ford's job, but I think Taylor Powell is in line to maybe take that job this season. But it's hard for me because I think Justin Rankin can be so damn good, like an MOP caliber player for the Edmonton Elks. So, but I think teams are going to be a little bit more prepared to stop that. You know, the Cody Fajardo, oh, nothing's there, dump it off to Justin Rankin, who busts a 30-yard gain, right? So that's how I see it shuffling out. in the West Division. And now for our playoff predictions.
We're not picking MOP of the West Division?
Oh, the MOP West. Well, Nathan Rourke. What are we doing? What are we even doing?
Saskatchewan's finishing first. And yes, we could have Trevor Harris.
They finished
Harris.
First last year, and it wasn't Trevor Harris.
Well, I'm not going with the quarterback. Listen, I want to go a little bit off the ball with my MOP predictions. How about Roland Milligan after MODP a couple of years ago has another great season and gets the MOP nod?
Never. After Tyrese Beverett and Roland Milligan Jr. were robbed 2 years ago, they should have been the MODP and the MOP finalists 2 years ago. After that, no, it's never going to happen. Voters are never going to go defense for most outstanding player.
I've been called Dreamer Britain already on this podcast. Let's add another dream out there that we get a defensive player MOP candidate.
Might have to establish a drug policy and have testing before we record these things with Britain. Okay, so let's go. How do we see the playoffs with only six teams this year, by the way? Only six teams make the playoffs this year. How do we see it shuffling out?
You want me to start?
Because are you doing a crossover?
No, I don't have a crossover. I have the third place team in the East Division there, being Ottawa. So.
Okay.
I have them going to Montreal, beating Montreal, Hamilton getting to the Grey Cup this year.
All right. Okay. Yeah, that's... I actually have a crossover. I'm going to have the Calgary Stampeders crossing over. Sorry to Ottawa, Toronto, and Edmonton, but you missed the playoffs last year, and I am having you miss the playoffs this year with a crossover to the Calgary Stampeders. And Calgary... No, I can't do it. I was going to say it'd be the first crossover team to ever go, and they'll represent themselves in the Grey Cup. Can't do it. No, not going to do it on that front. So... Hamilton will miss the playoffs, not Ottawa. Mm-hmm. Ottawa's second. Hamilton will miss the playoffs in that crossover scenario. Calgary goes to Ottawa and beats them, loses to Montreal in the East final. And then out West, I have the Winnipeg Blue Bombers coming to Saskatchewan and losing to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and a rematch of the BC Lions and the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. I think I've already said it on the show. I have BC Montreal in the Grey Cup with the BC Lions becoming the Grey Cup champions. And Nathan Rourke can probably get his bust ready for the Hall of Fame. That's what I have this year.
I have Edmonton going into BC, losing to the Lions. Once again, Nathan Rourke has to come out to Saskatchewan in November, deal with the weather again. Saskatchewan gets back, and I'm saying repeat. I'm saying it, Jamie. They're going to do it.
You're not supposed to say repeat here.
I don't care.
Listen to Corey Mace. Don't say the word. You should get fined for that.
We start bringing in fines. This team, the culture, the foundation, it feels like something special again. If there was ever a time for a Rider team to finally repeat, I do think this is the group to do it. And so that's going to be my prediction. Because I cheer for the story, and the better story I get to cover is the Riders out in Calgary going for a repeat.
Yeah, this is Britain just wanting another trip to the Grey Cup. That is what he's wishing into the future on that one. All right, we'll see how the season goes. I know this was a long episode of the Green Zone Blitz, the podcast. We didn't even dig into CFL fantasy because it's not working for many people anyways. It's been a little bit of a headache. Well, I know I've been in contact with those of the Canadian Football League. It has been frustrating. They're frustrated. They're disappointed. And they're disappointed because they wanted this to go off without a hitch for the fans who have wanted it. It hasn't worked that way. They have people working literally around the clock on the provider of this and those at the league office to try to get everything ironed out. I hope your drafts are working a lot better on CFL Fantasy. Our draft is after this podcast, so maybe next week we can go through our picks on our CFL draft going into week 2 on the Blitz podcast. But I tried to do it with a couple of fans, but it just wasn't working, and I was disappointed in that, that it didn't quite work out. But all those drafts, if you were participating with me, they've all auto-drafted after we gave up. I didn't know what day they auto-drafted, but we all have rosters, so we can all fill out those things. So a little bit of a mess for CFL Fantasy for the Canadian Football League.
Yeah, now I had the same thing, and I will once again quit taking Greg Bell. Everyone, stop! I like where I'm getting him at right now. Allow him to just still be there when we do our drafts coming up here. And a little tease, Jamie. We'll talk a little bit more about our riders and who we are really excited to see this season next time on the Blitz.
Yeah, next Blitz, we're going to do a full rider preview ahead of week one for the Rough Riders and to make our rider predictions. We need to do our week one picks, though, Britton, before we say goodbye. Montreal at Hamilton on Thursday. I'm going with the team that's going to go to the Grey Cup again, the Montreal Alouettes. I'm the only one on CFL.ca who picked the Owls and Davis Alexander over the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
You're the only one here picking it, too. I think Hamilton starts off strong at home here, and Bo Levi Mitchell, much like Trevor Harris had to do to the younger quarterback, says, hey, I'm still around and still pretty good.
At the Calgary Stampeders, home Friday night football against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. I know I picked the Bombers third, but I think they have a little bit of a hiccup early against the Calgary Stampeders, a team they could not beat last season with Vernon Adams Jr., so I got the Stamps starting off the season with a win at home.
Yeah, this one's a bit of a flip for me. Whichever the home team is, I think would end up winning this one. It's in Calgary. Once again, that's a team that's looking to end their season at home in a Grey Cup. I think VA early in the season is often very good VA, and I think that continues.
And, of course, we have the Ottawa Redblacks at home. They're taking on the Edmonton Elks, who are a team that I think are going to struggle a little bit this season. However, for some reason, I am picking the Elks to beat Ottawa. I think Ottawa is going to take a couple of weeks to figure out everything with all the changes, and then they're going to go on a heater at the end of the season.
What you just said times it by two. I'm picking the Edmonton Elks this time around. I really like what Ottawa, I think, is going to be by the end of the season. I think that they do have a little bit of a slow start, just a new coach, new system, new starting quarterback, and everything. It's going to take a little bit for it to get kind of worked out.
All right, that's it for the Green Zone Blitz, the podcast. Thanks for hanging out with us. And, of course, like, subscribe, share. Let us know your feedback, your questions, and we can get to those next week with a full rider preview ahead of their first game against the BC Lions in a West Division rematch at Mosaic Stadium next Saturday, June the 13th. That's it. For the Blitz, the podcast, I'm Jamie Nye, and he's Britton Gray.